Hello, my friends, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 14th of December. I'm Paul White. I hope you are off to a good start this week as you get into this middle of December, and we're heading really quickly towards Christmas, New Year's, all those big holidays, and I'm just praying favor on you, rest on you, peace in your family, in your job, in all the areas that you have placed your hand. Prosperity and blessing to you. We pray it in the name of Jesus, grace and favor into your life. Yesterday on the podcast, we dealt with Matthew chapter 21, specifically verses 33 down through close to the end of the chapter, where Jesus speaks to Israel about a vineyard. The vineyard parable is in Matthew 21, it's in Mark 12, it's in Luke 20. We talked about why we think it's in those Gospels and not John. It's a good podcast, good information. I highly recommend it. It also sets you up for our journey through Isaiah, where we're working through Old Testament passages through a New Covenant lens, trying to understand some things from the Old Testament with our finished work glasses on. What would we say differently about this text, any text, if we could look at it through the finished work? Again, repeating something we've said before, I realize there's a primary interpretation of the text that meant something to the people then, but the secondary comes alive when you start to insert Jesus. This particular chapter from Isaiah 5 probably did not have a whole lot of secondary interpretation to the people. It was one that, it was always metaphoric. There is no there's no moment of God coming down out of heaven and planting an actual vineyard on the earth with a vine and bringing forth grapes. So we know from the imagery that we're dealing with an allegory. We're really dealing with a made-up story that has an earthly principle. And I want to read it for you. We're going to work through it over the next couple of days because I think this vineyard of Isaiah 5, when you can start to place the characters in the right position, then you end up with it making sense in John 15 that Jesus would declare himself to be the true vine. If Jesus is the true vine, then what's the other vine? Well, the opposite of true vine would be false vine. I don't know that we have to go that far. We could say that Jesus is identifying himself in position of what someone else thought they were. And that's my proposition, that Israel understood herself to be the vine, and rightfully so. But Jesus comes along to show Israel that she is not the vine anymore. He is the vine. And so God is going to do what he does out of the vine, out of the rootstock of the vine. And that rootstock is not Israel. That rootstock is the man Christ Jesus. Let's begin in Isaiah 5, 1. And I'll stop whenever we see a moment to put in an application. There are a lot of them as we go. Now let me sing to my well-beloved, a song of my beloved regarding his vineyard. This is Song of Solomon style literature, that beloved talk, the lovely talk. And so we're talking about a narrative that the Israeli listener, the Jewish listener, would have understood. A song of my beloved regarding his vineyard. My well-beloved has a vineyard on a very fruitful hill. He dug it up and cleared out its stones. So God is the beloved who has a vineyard. He did the digging and the clearing of the stones. And I think this is an image of the promised land. God took Israel and put them in a promised land, but he had work to do in that promised land in order to establish Israel in that land. Remember, the work that God was going to do on the earth, he was going to do through Israel, so that he could have a womb by which to enter the earth, a people who received his promise so that they could be representative of the whole world who would eventually receive his promise. And so when God clears out the stones and digs up a spot for the vineyard, I think this is the clearing out of the promised land that is recounted in the books, in the book of, say, Joshua, which is the journey of Israel into the promised land and all of those battles and confrontations that they have, and then all the ups and downs that Israel experiences as he plants that vineyard. And how do we know it's Israel that he plants? Verse 2, he dug it up and cleared out its stones and planted it with the choicest vine. Well, what is the choicest vine? To make this connection, we got to go to verse 7. The vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Judah, and the men of Judah are his pleasant plant. Okay, so verse 7 tells us that the vineyard is Israel and Judah. So verse 2, when he dug it up and cleared out its stone and planted it with the choicest vine, we could say this: he cleared a space for Israel. So we now have three definitive characters or characteristics in the vineyard. God is the beloved. He cleared a space called the promised land, and he planted it with the choicest vine called Israel. He built a tower in its midst, and also made a wine press in it. So he expected it to bring forth good grapes. Notice that in God's vineyard, he establishes a place to press out the wine. God expects production. Inside of the cleared space, he plants Israel and expects that there will be something that comes out of her that is called good grapes. I call this, and here's another characteristic we can identify, I call this the fruit of righteousness. He expects that this people who are righteous because of their standing in Abraham, by the way, Israel was not righteous because she kept the law. No one's ever righteous because they keep the law. You're righteous because of a greater covenant. Israel is righteous because of her circumcision connection to Abraham, and God expects that out of that covenant will come forth the fruit, something good. Paul would say that we had been created for good works. This is because Paul, just because he is preaching grace and an understanding of the finished work in the new covenant, Paul does not exclude the wine is supposed to come out of the vineyard. The whole point of having a vineyard is to produce wine. Why does God call Israel a vine? Because the vine produces good grapes, which make the heart merry. God's purpose in a people was to bless the earth through a people. And I think through that, it's to show the family of man that that's how they're supposed to treat one another. I get a lot of questions about, and I think this is a spectacular question, why does God even bother to have a people? Why did he just come down here and do this himself? I think by having a people, he is showing us the value of people and showing us how to treat people, how to treat our neighbor, how to treat our enemy. You can't do that without an example, people. And I think that's the story of Israel. Okay, he expected it to bring forth good grapes, but there's a problem, and we're going to talk about that problem tomorrow because things don't go according to plan. And we're going to jump back into Isaiah 5 and figure out why and what needs to be done about it. See you tomorrow. God bless.